Welcome to 239 Uncensored. Everything Southwest Florida and beyond with your host, Tim Jarrett. This podcast covers it all. Real talk on issues from real estate to real crime. Join the discussion on hot topics to politics. Don't get left behind. Be in the know about everything Southwest Florida and beyond.
Welcome back to 239 Uncensored, and we are very honored again to have one of our favorites, Dr. Paul Hobeika, is going to give us a little rundown on the COVID virus and what's going on in Lee and Collier counties. Dr. Paul Hobeika, are you on, Doc?
I'm here. Thanks for the compliment or the warm welcome, I should say. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, you know, we had like a lot of downloads when you spoke before, and it's just great information. And I think what you offer to the show has really, really been beneficial. I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting. We got hurricane weekend. We have two big storms in the Gulf, and thank goodness we were able to dodge them. I think Laura and Marco, it's a good thing they didn't come together. We might have had some problems.
Yeah, we got lucky this time. I think Houston and the Gulf Coast over toward Louisiana and Texas isn't so excited, but we shall see.
I know. You feel bad in a way when they go to another place, but it spares us. When I first moved to Florida, I used to really get like kind of pumped up about those storms. We had Andrew back in, I believe it was 92, and then we just had Irma a couple years ago, and the destruction those things leave is just amazing. So I try to dodge those at all costs if possible.
Yeah, well, especially after what we went through it's going to be 2 years in a couple of weeks. It was terrible that storm Irma.
Took out a lot of infrastructure and a lot of homes and roofs. And I mean, it was definitely a costly situation. And then if you throw on the COVID situation we're going through, you know, obviously Doc, we love to get that COVID report information, the COVID minute, whatever you want to call it, medical report. It's very important for us to get all that. Give us a little rundown on COVID in Lee and Collier counties. I mean, are the numbers declining? I hear we're seeing a few more people that are asymptomatic. Some of the, you know, potentially positive rates have dropped. I mean, give us a little rundown. I mean, are those rumors? Are those some actual factual numbers? Or what are we seeing?
No, that's good info you're getting. So I think what I'm going to try to is give you sort of my take on what I'm getting in terms of the info and give it to the listeners and you. But you actually have got a really good base to work off of. We are seeing a really nice trend down. We have been. In Florida in general, and certainly Collier and Lee counties. So for weeks now, you know, we're experiencing we've been experiencing less than 100 cases a day in at least Collier County. We're actually for the last few weeks been in the 40 to 55, 60 range of per day how many people were reported infected. I think just overnight it was 44 people today. That's the lowest we've had since I think the spike in July, which was really tough to deal with when we saw the initial decline in June. And then of course the spike came up in July. This is a nice, really nice trend that we're seeing. I think if I'm not mistaken, Florida released the quarantine banning. So I'm trying to confirm that, but I think we lightened up our travel restrictions coming back to the state as well. So it doesn't mean we can loosen up our, you know, mitigation and protection and distancing items that we should still be, you know, still be managing and maintaining, but we are seeing a really, really nice trend. I think the last I was able to see about NCH, the hospital here, the community hospital, they have about 40% capacity in adult beds right now, which is great. That's the lowest we've seen in over a month. And I think
good
a lot
stuff.
Of their ICU beds have also opened up. So there's just a tremendously great trend right now that we're seeing. So we got to keep it up though.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important that we continue to constantly do our best to try to, like you said, social distance, be aware of it. You know, just taking it seriously at all times, I think, is very important. And I think most people do. But that reminder and a good reason to have you on every week or so to give us an update is crucial just to keep that push on, that we try to stay on top of this stuff.
Yeah, it's challenging because even the experts, some predictions are correct, some of the epidemiology folks, and some are not so correct. We're seeing where the United States in general is starting to see a trend we're down over the last so many weeks. we're seeing countries that were, you know, claiming they were containing it are climbing. France, Germany, Netherlands, some of those countries in the Eastern Europe are starting to see a really significant climb back up again. I think I just saw Germany's is having 1,000 or more cases a day now, where they were down really low. So while we're trending downward, some of those countries are concerningly, you know, trending upward again. And nobody really knows exactly why. It's just this sort of contagiousness in the way this, until we get this herd immunity, we may be seeing this trendward up and down different parts of the world, and including the United States here, where, you know, at varying times due to this fact that we're so far from herd immunity and or a vaccine right now. So we're doing things right here, and it's going to be interesting to see how the next few weeks go. But anyway, yeah, that's sort of the 10,000 foot view.
No, that's great. You know, any way we can move in the positive direction is a good thing. We're seeing, it seems to be, I don't know, you can probably tell me what you're seeing in your office, but I know a lot of people who have said that they have COVID. However, they don't show the symptoms. Is there such thing as maybe this watering itself down a little bit, or is that possible?
Well, I'm not absolutely sure I would be confident to answer that. We are still seeing a really significant amount of individuals who are asymptomatic carriers. That doesn't mean everybody has to run out and get tested and find out. It just means when we are testing people due to the testing strategy, so a family member may not feel well, we'll test the family and find that, you know, one or two have it, but one or two don't have any symptoms, or they're very mild symptoms, or one has symptoms and the, you know, other sibling doesn't have any. So we're seeing this asymptomatic infection still pretty significant, actually. And that's, you know, sort of lends me to comment on the fact that that's where we think a lot of the spread is still happening. It's people that don't have any symptoms,
right,
but have the disease, but they're not really, you know, coughing out material. It's just they are spreading it due to close contact or driving in the same vehicle as somebody that doesn't have it, and they're giving it, you know, they're spreading it due to the close contact. So these masks kind of come into play at that point. We think the masks are super protective or significantly protective to mitigate somebody that has the disease but doesn't have really any symptoms. That's where I think we're seeing the best benefit of mask mitigation, is in this asymptomatic infected state. It's not the person that has symptoms. We're isolating them. We're keeping them relatively contained, testing their close contacts, and we're able to really contain it that way and set up a perimeter. But it's the asymptomatic person that doesn't have many symptoms, if any at all, that seems to be a concern and is continuing to spread, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think probably going on the presumption that everybody could have it and protect yourself and others, I think would probably be a smart thing. We know the schools are going to open up August 31st in Collier County. Those have been some pretty highly emotional discussions. You know, have you got involved in any of those discussions or any of the planning purposes, or have you talked to any parents and yourself, you know?
You know, yeah, being a parent, of course, I've been sort of been asked a lot of opinions, both as doctor and as a parent. What do I do? Do I send the kids? Do I keep them home? And it is very controversial, and I'm afraid to say too much other than I think, you know, we clearly, you know, need to give this a try. And because I think it's just the wrong thing to assume that it's not a good idea to start resuming, you know, on-site classwork or return to in classroom teaching. But there is a strong sense, and I feel very much from the same opinion, that there's a really good chance that we're going to see cases spike up at colleges, and which we have seen in the last few weeks, and in the school systems. However, is it going to be to the point where it's going to put everybody at risk, or the teachers and whatnot? And you know, as of about 2 weeks ago, there was no reported case of a child or a student passing this on to a teacher. That's fact. Now, that may have changed, I don't know, in the last couple of weeks, but that was a few weeks ago. So
that's interesting.
It's sort of, yeah, it's sort of concerns me a little that some of the teachers, a lot of them want to get back, obviously, but some of them are really putting up, you know, some resistance on wanting to go back. And that's, I, you know, that's where I don't want to get too controversial, but I think they should step up, like the hairdressers in the world and the Publix workers and the first responders. Where you didn't hear anybody resisting returning and never actually stopped some of those folks. So I think the teachers have to really step up and show they're dug in too. So I don't want to get any letters from anybody complaining I'm saying that, but I think it would be we got to give this a try. If we don't, we'll never know how it really goes. But I'm supportive of a return to school using, you know, masks, of course, and distancing as much as we can. But let's get these kids back.
Yeah, I think, as you know, we lost a lot of our spring. I mean, the kids lost their prom, they lost graduation, they lost a lot of things. And obviously the education portion of it, which the reason why we're going to school, these kids are going to school. I think it's important that we've got to do everything we can to try to get us back on routine, back in pattern. And if not, we're going to see a huge dip in learning because of this. And, you know, we could string this thing out for a year or two. And then I think that's something that we really have to look forward to not trying to do. I mean, we have to look into, get this thing going.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think this strategy we've deployed of mask usage, educating people, you know, not going, you know, really too far out there in terms of socializing. If we can keep some of that pulled back a little bit, I think we're certainly trending in a good direction. And I don't really know how to explain why, other than the mitigation efforts that have been in place, which, you know, the data is coming back on masks and how beneficial they are. It was controversial, as we know, months back, and now we're seeing that there really is a pretty significant benefit. And even myself, I've come to support more mask usage in that exact scenario that you said earlier about, you know, it's the person that the responders, for example, bring to the hospital because someone injured their leg and they found out that they were actually infected because the hospitals were testing them. But the responders, unfortunately, in some cases have had exposure. So if we all, you know, really there's some real experts that say if we really stick to this mask usage and keep some of these mitigation techniques in place, we can put this thing right down without having to shut the country down again, which I think would be a really tough thing to weather again.
Paul, as you know, a lot of businesses have been trying to get back to work, and there are people in the workplace that do test positive for COVID. What are some of the things that businesses can do or protocols prior to them having the employees come back to work? What are some things that can be done by the employer prior to them coming back to work?
So one of them is following, obviously, CDC guidelines. If somebody were to call their employer, say, I don't feel good, I'm not coming in, and then, you know, what should happen is that person ought to have some information from their doctor or clinic taken, try to identify what the risk is, get some testing for that person. That's the best time to test somebody, not when they're not having symptoms. And I'm not a big supporter, as I think I said last time, of this blanket drive-up testing on people that have no symptoms. I don't believe in it, and it's proven to be a big challenge to resources. The money really is in testing people who are acutely ill and trying to contain their contacts around them. That's just what the term they use is, smart testing. So that person that doesn't feel well should not go into work. They certainly ought to be wearing masks when in general these companies should be enforcing mask usage. And this way, when somebody doesn't really feel well or there's an outbreak or somebody has a confirmed case, you can very easily contain who they've been around. And what we're finding actually is this mask usage, if you wore a mask and I wore a mask and you found out I was positive a day later, we would look at what the risk was, the risk assessment, we call it. We would determine that you're probably at a significantly low risk because, one, I had a mask on, and two, you had a mask on. So that's a cumulative mitigation effort. And that should be, we wouldn't in that case really have to do much with someone in that example I use as yourself, it being exposed to a positive at work. As long as there was mask usage and distancing, we're finding that people, unless they have a lot of symptoms, are not really spreading this to others. So that person would have to be out. It's a minimum of 10 days. Okay. Actually, the CDC says they could go back if they're better, no fever, no real, not having a lot of symptoms at day 10 after they've been testing positive. So some obviously their symptoms last longer than that, but they could conceivably get people back to work at the 10th day.
Well, that's a good thing. I think a lot of businesses will be happy with that. And then obviously it's going to continue. You have to continue monitoring that employee throughout and making sure that everybody's healthy. I think one of the big things we're seeing is people that come into work and they're not feeling well. That's been a problem. I know with us a little bit there, you know, after we talked to them and said, well, I wasn't feeling all that great, but I didn't think I was that bad. And, you know, come to find out they might've been in a situation where they did have COVID. So I think when you don't feel good, just stay home until you can figure out what you got going on with you. I think that's important.
That's exactly true. The threshold to stay home and maybe call out or call into the boss and say, I don't feel great, and give this 24, 48 hours to see whether there's a testing, you know, that could be done, or it's just you ate something that wasn't quite agreeable to the person. That's
right.
So significant. People are going to work. Unfortunately, we see it and hear it, and they're not well, and then we have to trace the contacts they've been around. And fortunately, we're getting very, very lucky because, again, with the usage of these techniques to mitigate the mask usage and the distancing, socially distancing and spacing has been proven to be very, very beneficial. So I can't emphasize that enough.
It's hard to believe that we're actually going into the fall because this kind of this COVID thing started. We started hearing about it in, late part of February, just some conversation. And then we really got hammered in March. And here it is, September coming up. It's amazing. I just can't believe it. If you had a crystal ball, you know, and you're a doctor and you get a lot of knowledge and you talk about this stuff all the time, how does the fall and the winter time, I mean, how is this looking when we talked about it last podcast, but you know, when these other flus kind of intermingle with the potential COVID situation?
Yeah. So that's a great point. So flu season or flu vaccines are always, I get asked this all the time. Would you get it? And I tell them I get the flu vaccine because I like the sometimes 30, 40, 50% benefit it offers. And that's sometimes all its effectiveness can be. But what the experts, and I'm going to, you know, kind of, I'm not the one that's done as a research, but the epidemiologist will say that if you can not get the flu this year while we're still struggling with this COVID, it's going to be so much more beneficial. So I think you're going to see potentially an outbreak of both. Obviously, flu comes out every sort of fall in the winter. And where this COVID is still expected to be pretty significant, there's no reason to expect it to go away all of a sudden. We may have a double storm front coming, and flu vaccine is going to be so important to people. If there was a year that I'd say they need to get it, and I'm not trying to stir this rush to go get a flu vaccine, but it is going to be important to try to keep that much less than it normally, a normal flu outbreak would be, and not have to try to how to deal with both of these at the same time. So there was sort of rumor that does getting the flu vaccine lower your risk of getting COVID? The answer is 100% not. It's more the opposite. You don't want to get the flu right now or of course this fall. So flu vaccine is being shipped as we speak.
Well, that's good. I mean, I don't know how that usually comes out in the opportunity to get it when you can, whether it be at your pharmacy, at your local clinic, with you, Dr. Hobeika. I think, you know, obviously my father is in his 80s. I'm definitely going to get him, you know, his flu shot ASAP as soon as I can possibly get that done, because I definitely do not want to expose him to anything in additional to, you know, what, you know, COVID might could potentially bring.
That is correct. And I think you're going to see, actually, I'm going to say this. I think you're going to see a lower than normal flu outbreak based on the fact that I think you're going to see more people vaccinated. And I also think you're going to, with the mask usage, I think
right.
You're going to see a collateral benefit of people not spreading it. So I think we may get real lucky. That's my thoughts only. I haven't seen the science behind that, but it might be really beneficial, this mask usage and stuff, to contain the flu this year as well. So
no, we really appreciate this information, Doc. It's really good stuff. And as we discussed, we really want to do a weekly medical segment where you can send in some questions or email some things to us, or, you know, we might pull down some questions that are commonly asked to you at the clinic, whether it be women or men's health, general questions, and then we will discuss them on the podcast. Probably the best way to do it is just go ahead and email me at tim@239uncensored.com, and we'll go ahead and compile those questions and get them answered by the one and only Dr. Hobeika. Doc, are you good with that format for now? We'll probably make some changes as we go.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to. I think it's, again, if it we'll know by the listeners if they want more of this, I'm happy to. I also, you know, am comfortable enough to know that it might be kind of nice to bring on some specialists and some guest speakers that really can address specific items, like you said, maybe a women's health expert, a men's health expert, maybe a pediatrician. Hey, that would come on and could specifically talk about the next few weeks, how it's going to impact children in school and the COVID. So happy to do that. And I think just a few other things that I wanted to mention before we, for the listeners, that, you know, things people always ask, what can we do to lower our risk here? And a lot of people don't know this, but vitamin D supplements, okay, vitamin D3 specifically, they found that people with vitamin D levels that were low tend to have more infectivity and worse disease outcomes with this infection. So you want to get your vitamin D levels up. The simple is, you don't even have to get them tested. People should just go and get some vitamin D3. I take 5,000 units a day. That sounds like a lot, but it's actually not. And I don't worry about checking my levels. So vitamin D levels are really important for immune function, even to lower risk of cardiac disease. So getting the flu vaccine, I think, is really, really important, you know, to help and keeping, you know, getting exercise and outdoor activities are still important. This virus gets significantly diluted when you're outdoors, so the risk of getting it outside is so minimal. So I wanted to make sure I gave those points to the listeners. So
that's real big. You know, I haven't been in to see you, Doc, in a while. And when you see me, I know you're going to be yelling at me. You'd be like, what the hell? This COVID thing's, you know, chunks of weight on you. So I actually, you know, every day I say to myself, I'm gonna walk tonight, I'm gonna run tonight, but for some reason I gotta, you know, get a little bit more motivated and get it done. So that outdoor activity I think is crucial, and like you said, the vitamin D, that's a great tip. And
yeah, you need to be on it. I'm demanding you to be on
that. All right, I got it. I'm gonna go on, go on Amazon and order some now, or get a pharmacy or whatever. But all right, I'll listen to you. I'll take your word.
Good, absolutely.
Doc, do you have anything else to throw in here? Any more information?
No, I think the only other thing I'd say is there's the clinical trials they're in phase 3 of the vaccine. I think likely gonna see something in this fourth quarter as we've watched the news. But I'm almost for sure gonna kind of expect something before the first of the year. So they've put this on such a fast track that I think we're going to see something in November, December, or maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's going to be exciting. I'm a little more interested in the vaccine. I might not have been a month ago, meaning personally getting it, but I think it may be truly our way out of this in a lot of ways. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes in the next few months. But I'll have some updates on where this is community-wide next week when we catch up, and may have some more little science to the listeners if they're interested in some of the science behind all this. And I don't want to get too technical, but
yeah, keep it easy for us. Keep it for me, yeah, anyway, not the other listeners, but for me, I need it, like, you know, hey, this is what it has to be, Tim. Just keep it basic.
Yeah. No, I gotcha.
Doc is like talking out sometimes, you know, in a little different world because you know you get all that education, you read all that stuff, and but you're real good about conveying it to us, and that's what's very important, letting us know.
Well, I'm happy to help any way I can. I really would be happy to know that just somebody may get some information that they didn't know before that they now know, and happy to help on that from that perspective.
All right. Well, I really appreciate it, Dr. Hobeika. And I think your nickname, we didn't even say it again, but Dr. Kovaika, which, you know, for the COVID, we didn't even have to throw that out there. But we really appreciate your updates. We're looking forward to doing this on a weekly basis. We're going to try to do it on a Friday. We'll see how that goes. Just want to thank you for listening to 239 Uncensored, everything Southwest Florida and beyond. We're out, Paul. Are you good?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for again, and we'll chat anytime.
All right. Everyone. Thank you, my friend. We really appreciate it. Have a good one. Please make sure to download and listen to us on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And don't forget to like and share on social media. This has been a Studio 239 production. That was fun.